The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Good morning. Welcome to your Wednesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Frank Morano, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Now, see, Al, that's better. That's better.
Al, now you might not know this,
yeah.
but the month I was born, July of 1982, this song was number one on the charts.
Yes,
this,
I do know
this
that.
This was this what you know.
I was 12. So you know, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know it month. Exactly, but radio was in my blood from
it's
very
good,
early
look,
on.
It's definitely one of those great songs. By the way, I want to also point out Charlie Baldy doing a great job,
yes,
stepping up, sitting in the chair for Frank, making sure we have the show well produced.
Why? Thank you very
you
much.
You don't. You don't just get guests like Kayleigh McEnany unless you have a great producer. So Charlie, you are doing a fantastic job. I want to bring in Kayleigh right now. You all know her as the spokesperson for the Trump campaign. She was the spokesperson for the RNC, and she's all around awesome. Good morning, Kayleigh. How are you?
Hey, Joe. Great to join you.
I wish we were joining Joe in Italy. I'm sure you would love to be on that trip with Joe Piscopo cruising Italy. But it seems like you guys over at the Trump campaign and at the RNC have been having a tremendous month when it comes to fundraising. I mean, how much more money did you bring in than the Democrats in September, for example?
Yeah, so first let me just say Joe Piscopo is the best. That we just interviewed him for our campaign podcast yesterday. Mm-hmm. He called in all the way from Italy. It was pretty awesome. So miss him. He's great. You're great. Great to join you. But our campaign with the RNC, the number we've released is over the last year, we've raised $300 million, $158 million cash on hand. And you know, compare this to Joe Biden, who the third quarter, we were way north of $100 million. It was like $125 million. His third quarter, he raises $15 million. We did that in 2 days, after Nancy Pelosi announced the impeachment inquiry. So, you know, fundraising, if that's any indicator, man, we are doing well at the Trump campaign and certainly next to Steve Joe.
Well, I think broadly speaking, Republicans are going to have more than enough money it will take to basically prosecute this war against the Democrats. And I think you made such a tremendous point. I mean, Joe Biden isn't just a backbencher candidate. I mean, you have Julian Castro begging for $800,000. Joe Biden's the front runner. A new CNN poll just announced that he's actually growing his lead. And yet he just doesn't seem to be getting off the ground with the donors that matter. I mean, do you think he's sort of past his prime? Do you think Republicans should be concerned over a Joe Biden nominee?
Absolutely. I think he's past his prime. You know, the CNN poll, as you noted, still shows him as the front runner. But, you know, the poll certainly is contradicted by his fundraising. I mean, there's no support for this guy. He's so reminiscent of Hillary Clinton, same corruption issues as her. And as you'll remember, a lot of the Bernie crowd didn't turn out for Hillary. They were dismayed by her. They didn't like her politics, didn't like her corruption. I know several of which I've talked to turned from Bernie to Trump. And in the form of a Biden nominee, you're going to have the same problem. You're going to have a lot of leftists, a lot of Bernie supporters, Warren supporters staying home.
You know, you pointed out just how awful Hillary Clinton was for Democrats. I mean, really, in 2016. I mean, do you as someone who fought back against her so well that year, do you kind of sit back and chuckle a little bit when you see her coming out from under a bridge, you know, just to take shots at Tulsi Gabbard, of all people? I mean, not even someone who really is in contention to be president. I mean, what do you make of it? Do you think there's a chance of her, you know, snaking her way back into the nomination race at all?
Absolutely. I think there's a chance. I think, you know, her being this vocal means that it's something that she's considering, something that she's at least entertaining in her head. We know that she was desperate to be president. It's why she keeps talking about Russians as an excuse for why she lost. She sees Russians, it seems, behind lampposts and in her dreams. It's crazy, all of her allegations. And she also said, by the way, Jill Stein was a Russian asset. So apparently Jill Stein was, apparently Trump was, apparently Tulsi Gabbard is. So the question is, who is not a Russian agent? I guess only Hillary Clinton, who actually got Russian misinformation put in a dossier and used it to spy on American citizens via the Obama administration. So I think she could get in for sure. But boy, is she completely nuts.
Sure. And who wanted to have the Russian reset to herself be all lovey-dovey with Vladimir Putin and at the time Dmitry Medvedev. Got to ask you, you know, the front pages of the Times, the front pages of the Daily News and a number of other papers are screaming about the ambassador's testimony over whether there was a quid pro quo or not. I mean, what do you think the right play here is for Republicans? How do they finally get these records opened up and not have these selective leaks by Adam Schiff determining the narrative of press coverage over this impeachment inquiry?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that Republicans and the American public can't even see the transcripts. When Robert Mueller's report came out, the summary, Democrats were tripping over themselves to say, we must see the full report, every single period, comma, word, no redactions. But now they want to conceal the transcripts from the American people. I think Lindsey Graham's resolution will condemn the House proceedings for what they are, which is a sham with no due process. But, you know, we lack the power to really push Democrats to release these transcripts. They don't want the facts to come out because they know the only way they impeach Trump is if they conceal the facts, because the facts exonerate the president. So, you know, it's in a tough spot because it's selective leaking, like you said, by Adam Schiff. Selectively cherry pick to try to make the president look bad.
Look, I'm an avid cable news listener, AM radio news junkie, and I see a very select group of people in Congress, whether it's Lee Zeldin or Matt Gaetz or Mark Meadows, and just a very small cadre of people out there trying to push the pendulum back in the other direction. Do you kind of echo President Trump's sentiments that we need our Republican elected officials to be a little bit more? I mean, there was a report of one member, and I'm not going to say her name. I think she's good otherwise, but who refused to even go to a meeting on how to respond to impeachment. Do you think the president's right in urging some Republicans to start pushing back and buckling their seatbelt for a rough ride?
Oh, absolutely. He's right to push back. You know, Republicans, they need to know that they don't exist. The party doesn't exist. Their seat doesn't exist. Their mandate to lead, their mantle of power doesn't exist if not for Republican voters, who 93% support the president, more than any president has had with support among his party in history, except Bush during 9/11, so one narrow exception. You know, President Trump has a overwhelming mandate to lead from Republican voters. So listen to what the voters say. And they say, stand by the president, fight for his due process rights. Republicans have moved even further against impeachment as this inquiry has been launched. So listen to the people who put you there, because you don't exist as a leader in Congress without them.
I think you're right. This is something I tell people all the time, especially here in New York City. You know, take yourself out of this New York City media bubble. Take yourself out of the environment where all we do is hear bad news about President Trump. Go down to the local firehouse, even in New York City, wherever it is. Go down to the local firehouse and ask people there how they feel about President Trump. The day after the last Democratic interview, I was in a Waffle House in Maryland or Virginia or so somewhere, but a place where, you know, I think normal Americans actually go. And I was trying to figure out what the Democratic Party said last night that would appeal to anyone in that Waffle House. And I just couldn't figure out what that is. I mean, this is a fight against socialism. Now, I know the RNC is going to start pushing back and coming up with this thing called the Victims of Socialism. We just had a Democratic candidate against AOC. A friend of mine, Fernando Cabrera, he's a moderate Democrat. He's a Christian minister. And he is highlighting these victims of socialism. I mean, do you think this is a good strategy by the RNC to just show the ramifications of the continuation of the Democratic Party's lurch leftward?
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt about that. You know, I'm from Florida. I'm still a homeowner there. I consider it my permanent residence, even though I work in the swamp every week. And I'm surrounded by Cuban Americans, by Venezuelans, who are first-generation immigrants who tell me about the horrors of socialism, who have escaped it and wish nothing more than to keep this country a thriving democracy. You know, we're not being apocalyptic here. We're being realistic when we're talking about Elizabeth Warren wanting government takeover of healthcare, government takeover of energy, government takeover of college. You know, she wants government to control. And that at its core is socialism, is you lacking freedom and individual choice and having to go to the seat of government to ask, you know, which doctor you can see and which medical procedure you can have. So pointing out the victims of socialism is so important because I don't think Joe Biden will be the nominee. I do think it will be Elizabeth Warren. And this will be ultimately a referendum on socialism versus the values that made this country great.
I think you're absolutely right, Kaylee. Thank you for joining us. We always appreciate the time you take, and we always appreciate the work you do on behalf of our president. Friends, look, I mean, you might not even like Donald Trump, and that might be fine. But you have to frame this 2020 debate over whether you think the country under an Elizabeth Warren, as Kaylee pointed out, who she thinks, and I also think she's right about this, that Elizabeth Warren will be the nominee. But is the country to go in the direction of government takeover of the things that we hold dear, things that are privately run, or are we going to go in the direction of free market capitalism that, frankly, has done us pretty well, right? We've done pretty well under capitalism. Let's be honest. Is there inequity in the system? Sure. Are there people who probably deserve to be more compensated than they are now? Sure. Are there problems with the system? Are there billionaires when other people are impoverished? Sure. All these things happen to exist. But gosh darn it, I think we're doing pretty much okay under capitalism. And this is going to be the driving question going into 2020. I mean, you take anything. I mean, this is a city that's very progressive. This is a city that believes in big government. And I'm not trying to knock anyone that puts in an honest day's work at some of the city's public hospitals. But the public hospital system here in New York City is not as good as the private hospital system we have. And yet we see so many progressives here in this city fighting to keep privatization out. I mean, these are the solutions that Democratic elected officials demand the public just accept. And I think it's the wrong way. I'm ready for the fight for 2020. I'm going to be out there on news channels like this, AM 970, throughout the Salem Network. I'll be out there on Fox, on CNN, wherever I can have a voice to remind Americans that this is a race against socialism. I don't care if you have to hold your nose and vote for Donald Trump. The direction the Democratic Party wants to go in is just the fundamental wrong direction. I promised I'd take some callers. Let's take our good friend E. Frank from Astoria. E. Frank, you're on with Joe Borelli on the Joe Piscopo Show.
Yes, good morning, Joe. You know, I think very highly of President Trump. I think he's a very a nice man. He has a very good sense of humor. And I like very much the things that he says and what he's done for our country. But I think that he cannot face the music to the point that it seems that he has an aggressive approach towards dealing with certain issues. Now, if Congress is right and they agree, I know the Republican Senate is not going to agree, but I know the Democrats are like usual. They're going to get together and have a muckety-muck discussion. And if they place the first article of impeachment on President Trump, they're going to have to show the goods, and if they produce the goods saying that the Ukrainian president was extorted, I don't know what Donald Trump is going to say. He can't say that the Democrats are stating a pack of lies or it's fake news. There's some substance behind that, and I'm looking forward to seeing the substance that the individuals in my party have, because if they don't have anything, I'm inclined
to
vote for Donald
Trump.
I
think one thing we'll certainly agree on, E. Frank, is that we are going to see this process play out. There's one thing I can guarantee about this impeachment inquiry. It ain't going away. It ain't going away today. It ain't going away tomorrow. And we are likely to continue seeing drips and drabs about what's happening. We might be taking a break soon. When we come back, we'll be joined by Assemblyman Robert Auth from New Jersey. But first, we got to take a look at the traffic with our dear gal, Susie Cerrone.
Hey there, Joe. Thanks and good morning. It's a tough morning out there. Even though the rain is long gone, a crash on the BQE southbound by Tillery Street has the center lane blocked. Ouch, the Deegan southbound is slow from right about the Westchester line to the Cross Bronx and the Cross Bronx westbound. 45 minutes to the outbound George. Now, the inbound George, no more than 5 for either deck. The Lincoln is 15. In at the Holland, it's 20 from the Turnpike, 30 from 1 and 9. Alternate side is in effect today. Parkway North, but at 132, an accident gone, but it was already slow in the area. You're slow from 129 up to 139. Accident cleared off 22 eastbound at Vauxhall Road. Now there's a crash on the Parkway southbound at 136. New York State Thruway southbound still stop and go from 13 across the Tappan Zee Bridge into Westchester County. A crash in Westchester, partially blocking the ramp from the Cross County eastbound to the Hutch southbound. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Joe Piscopo here, coming to you from the SmartWayToBuy.com studios. If you look around these days, everything is getting smarter. Smartphones, smart TVs, even smart refrigerators. Well, now, after 100 years of the same old dumb way of buying cars, there's the smart way to buy a car. Just go to thesmartwaytobuy.com and see how easy they've made it. With really smart things like the Smart Way to Buy's 110% low price guarantee that ensures you are getting the best price for your next used vehicle. Need a car for commuting to work? Do you have a teenager looking for the first car? Well, then you should definitely visit the Smart Way to Buy. .com. It's your go-to place for the widest selection of used cars in New Jersey. Plus, every vehicle comes with a 5-day, 500-mile exchange policy, so you can't lose. Now, that's smart. The Smart Way to Buy. Only at thesmartwaytobuy.com. That's thesmartwaytobuy.com. Anything else just wouldn't be smart.
Hi there, I'm Valerie Smaldone. I have a show that gives you a break from politics because it's something completely different. It's a show like no other in New York, a show about theater and food, nightlife, and the city. It's called Bagels and Broadway, and it airs every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. Conversations with celebrities and producers, chefs and food innovators, and the fascinating people behind the scenes. You can listen on the radio, online, Alexa, and podcast. Bagels and Broadway with Valerie Smaldone, Saturday morning at 9.
I'm excited to tell you about the next edition of the Dining Out Dialogues with Kevin McCullough, as presented by Dining Out Magazine, AM 970 The Answer, and AM 570 The Mission. They're a series of live remote broadcasts from 3 to 6 p.m. on location with top chefs, celebrity co-hosts, and special guests. The next stop in the Dining Out Dialogues will be with Chef Niall Medford on November 1st at Bobby Van's Steakhouse in the landmark Helmsley Building next to Grand Central Station. Kevin will be on location at 230 Park Avenue with very special guest and co-host A.J. Catsimatidis. Happy hour is from 3 to 6 p.m. during the live broadcast. I hope you'll be there on Friday, November 1st for the Dining Out Dialogues at Bobby Van's Steakhouse.
After the broadcast, stay for dinner. Make your reservation by calling 212-867-5490. That's 212-867-5490.
Eye on Real Estate, New York's longest-running show on real estate, answers everyone's questions, even if you live in California.
Are you calling from L.A.?
Yes, I am.
Dottie Herman, CEO and president of Douglas Elliman Real Estate, and her expert team will help you through the ins and outs of property ownership.
We have great listeners, a great audience, and a great team of professionals.
Call with your questions, 866-970-9622, every Saturday morning starting at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
I want to tell you about Connors and Sullivan. And, you know, I got the copy in front of me, and I'm supposed to tell you stuff, you know, about wills and trust, power of attorney, healthcare proxy, living will, estate plan. I could tell you how I went to see Mike Connors with my sordid, ridiculous life with a couple exes, a couple kids here and there, you know, where's the money going? But back to business, if indeed you have the problems that I had, and I didn't know where to go, and I went to my son Joey, my consigliere, the wartime consigliere. He got me to Connors and Sullivan. You can get a free seminar from Mike himself. Here, please. Monday, October 28th, Bocelli Restaurant, Highland Boulevard on Staten Island, 11 a.m., 3 p.m., 7 p.m. And then again on Tuesday, October 29th in Midtown, okay, in Manhattan, 3 West Club. That's 3 West 51st Street at 11 and 3. Mike does these for free. But if you can't make it, please call Lisa over there and Bridget's there and Kelly's there. The great team at Connors and Sullivan is standing by for you. You can get a free office appointment if you call 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500. God bless Mike and Beth Connors. I'm telling you, great people. And Mike always says it best when he says, the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all.
Dennis Prager, coming up at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Hudson Honda.
Now, I know you don't recognize the song. Famous band, though. New Wave.
The Police?
No.
I don't know.
I can get you
oh, this is a good one. Yep. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Good one.
And?
I don't know who it is.
Came out the year you were
it's
born.
A good one. I'm not sure.
Knack? What's that?
The Knack?
Nope. This is Men at Work, Overkill.
Men at Work, all right. Men at Work, Overkill.
A Scottish guy who went to Australia to become a sensation. So
well, it's good.
Colin Hay
and
is
God
from
bless
Scotland.
Them. Yeah, God bless them. They had a couple of good hits in the 1980s.
Yes, they did. And Overkill, because Overkill on taxes and all kinds of other stuff in New Jersey.
Well, right. I mean, we are here in studio with Assemblyman Robert Auth of New Jersey, someone who, first of all, I got to ask him something that we mentioned to Steve Adubato earlier in the show. The pumpkin tax. I mean, the pumpkin tax is one of the most absurd things. But let me just give him a proper introduction. You are now listening to myself with Assemblyman Robert Auth, the Republican Party politician from New Jersey, representing the 39th Legislative District. Welcome to the show, as always, Assemblyman.
Councilman, it's a pleasure to be with you. It was great being with you guys at Frank's wedding, too. We had such a good
yep.
time.
So let me ask you something. The New Jersey Division of Taxation sends out this tweet with a picture of pumpkins, and they say, you know, warning, if you're going to eat your pumpkins, God bless you, but you don't have to pay tax because it's food. But if you're using those same pumpkins for decorative purposes, if you're going to put one on your porch, you're going to pay taxes. So is the lesson here, this is not The Onion, by the way, this is a real tweet by the state of New Jersey, is the lesson here that we should all go lick our pumpkins to save the 18 cents? Or, I mean, should government probably not be worried about the pumpkin tax?
I put an absolutely fabulous pumpkin pie recipe on my webpage for all of my constituents so they can just bring that in when they're buying their pumpkins and say it's earmarked for the oven. So, I mean, this is just a tip of the iceberg. We were chatting about this before. These types of things are absolutely incredible. But more seriously, on a more serious note, I have constituents who are in the transportation business. And their business, they're down by Newark. They have a group of independent contractors that work for them. They get certain orders. They have contractors come in. They move those orders in and out of the port in various parts of New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. And they come, and then other times they're regionalized, but, I mean, they'll go someplace else, another part of the country in different parts of the year. Now New Jersey's coming back to this owner and telling him, well, you should have had these people listed on the payroll as regular employees of your company. So we're going to come back to you now, go back as far as 2013, and we're going to audit you, and we're going to make you pay for the taxes you didn't collect from those guys. I mean, is that helping independent business?
It's just not helping small businesses. You know, look, Governor Murphy's not going to come out in his troll costume and start shaking people down for 18 cents on their pumpkins. But the state of New Jersey is going to come after people. And the point you mentioned is, you know, small business owners, whether they have 10 employees or 100 employees. But they're, I mean, no one is safe, it seems, from the New Jersey policy of shaking down small business job creators. How do you in the legislature even start to push back against that?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have an opportunity to do that when we start showing what the ramifications of this type of activity is. The person I'm talking about said, I'm going to move to Delaware.
Yeah.
And he's going to leave. You know, they're even doing it to campaigns. We recently got a letter telling us that if you have people working on your campaign, you know, a lot of times toward the end in the fevered pitch of a campaign, we get kids to go out and put literature out and all that. They have to be on the payroll. They have to have taxes taken out of their checks and everything. I mean, they've really gone to the point
where... I mean, God forbid you pay a kid $50 to rake your leaves. He's only going to walk out of there with $42.50 pay his Obamacare premium. It's
outrageous. It's outrageous. But this is where they're going because they have this... I mean, they're just so desirous of money. They're doing everything they can.
Look, for me, a Staten Islander, I've been a Staten Islander for my 37 years of life. New Jersey was always seen, for the most part, as a place where you can have a slightly more affordable tax structure and maybe have a better quality of life. And I got to be honest with you, Assemblyman, you know, I'm on the skip it plan. If and when I move from Staten Island, I'm skipping over the Garden State just because of some of the things that Governor Murphy has implemented, whether it be the gas tax or just letting property taxes run amok. I mean, I'm probably going to eastern Pennsylvania, maybe the town of Easton, but somewhere just a little further away where you just have a more competitive base. How can New Jersey and how can you really? I mean, when can you stop this hemorrhaging that is occurring due to the state's awful property tax system?
Well, let me tell you, if you really want to stop it, right now you have one party control in our state, and that is the major problem. I mean, you have a Democrat in the governor's mansion, you have a Democratic Senate and a Democratic Assembly, and so there's absolutely no possible way to stop them. If they've decided they're going to do something, they can just run roughshod over the state and do what they want. But you talked about something that's very important, too. You know, at one time, New Jersey was an oasis for people from New York. We had no income tax. We had no sales tax. We had great schools. And
I think every bit of school clothing I ever bought was bought at the Woodbridge or Menlo Park Mall. You know, we'd go over the outer bridge. We'd get our school clothes. I'd get our booze cheaper, thanks to your state. I'd get some new sneakers. I'd get some gas in Dad's car. And this was a rite of passage for every Staten Island family.
Exactly. Well, so now we raised our gas tax 158% 2 years ago. And then not only that, but the legislature ceded its responsibility. All tax bills come from the Assembly. In that bill, we gave up that right to be the ones to determine what the taxes were going to be, and we have some administrator out of the Treasury Department determining now whether or not we need to raise the gas tax. And they did raise it again. After the 158% tax increase, they raised it again another 3 cents, totally underneath the radar. No one ever knew about it. It's the administrative state. That's what's happening in New Jersey.
Is there any long-term I'm asking this as a personal question. I mean, I have a lot of family members who live, most of them in Monmouth County, a lot of friends in Union County. Is there any relief on the horizon for them with respect to the property taxes? Or I mean, I know it's sort of a local issue. It's involves the school districts, et cetera. But is there any relief on the horizon? I mean, or do we have to just keep electing people like you to push back on the broader Democratic control?
Well, for the entire time I've been there, they haven't talked about relief for property tax. They talk about a plethora of things, but things that are totally inconsequential. It's really important to do exactly what you mentioned, just get one of the houses back into the other party's hands, because that will put the brakes on a lot of it, because you need all three groups to agree. And Republicans are not going to be agreeing to any tax increases if they got back into the Assembly or if they got back into the Senate. You'll notice, I mean, as much as people castigate Governor Christie, his personality, this, that, and the other thing.
Sure, you don't have to love him.
You don't have to love him, but he didn't really, he kept vetoing these tax bills and they couldn't do anything. We had a 2% property tax cap in New Jersey, and it was working really well. But they refused, the legislature refused to put up a bill that would make it permanent. The governor would have signed it right away, and the day he left and the day Murphy got in, right away they started cutting loose. And now the property taxes
are going up again. Look, I would have moved to the New Jersey of Christie. I don't know if I'm going to move to the New Jersey of Governor Murphy. But quickly, how's the race going, and how can people get involved to make sure we send you back to Trenton to be some to have a little bit of sanity? And by the way, I want to point out, I know Joe Piscopo is listening. The assemblyman brought in some limoncello for us to have a little taste because he knows you're in Sorrento tonight. But back to the election, how can people get involved? How can we make sure you get over the hump and back to Trenton?
Well, you know, we're out there every day. We're being outspent about 5-1. They spent about $400,000 in cable ads against us. And here's the thing. I got to be honest with you. They've spent all that money in negative advertising, and they haven't spent one penny telling you what they're going to do to help you. I'm kind of like Al D'Amato when it comes to my time in office. He was what they call him, Senator Pothole.
Yep.
I'm the same thing. You know, I've gotten money for bridges in Oakland, New Jersey. I've gotten money for bridges in Upper Saddle River, New Jersey. I mean, these are the types of things. Unfortunately, we have to use the grant system. I would prefer not to do that, but I'm working within the system I have. But we go out and do things, my running mate and myself, Holly Shapiz and myself, and we actually go out there and do the things for the constituents that they need. And we can all wax philosophical and talk about these big issues, but really when it comes down to it, you know it as well as I do. You got to get
we see these debates here in New York, whether you want someone like AOC to pontificate about socialism or you want someone to help keep the hospital open or whatever the case may be. Friends, if you are in Robert Auth's district, you got to make sure you get out there on November 15th. You got to send him back to Trenton. You got to send him back to the swamp part of New Jersey and push back on the progressive, radical agenda of Governor Phil Murphy. By the way, Phil Murphy's senior advisor, I don't know the guy's name, but he took umbrage in the fact that I made a couple of jokes about his pumpkin tax. And they were so I got back at him. I actually ended up on CBS News last night talking about his pumpkin tax. So you want to criticize me being on Twitter, buddy? I'll be on the evening news making fun of your boss. We got to go. We got to get some news with our pal Al Gattulo. When we come back, we'll have author David Petruzza. Stay tuned.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The Answer.
58 degrees at 9:36. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. A Queensman says a large rusty bolt narrowly missed hitting him after it fell from elevated subway tracks and smashed the roof of his car. It happened yesterday morning in Long Island City, striking Kew Gardens resident Philip Garcia's vehicle. This is just one of several similar incidents this year, and earlier this month, the MTA announced plans to install safety netting underneath the 7-line tracks. In addition to the netting, decorative tiles that have also fallen are being removed. The much-anticipated American Dream Mall in New Jersey opens Friday, and one of the main attractions is already sold out for the weekend. The mall website says Friday, Saturday, and Sunday sessions for Nickelodeon Universe is booked. The water park, snow park, and shopping and dining will open over the next few months. The mall is in East Rutherford near MetLife Stadium. The company anticipates tens of millions of people will visit the mall in the first year. Customers, though, we'll have to pay for parking. In sports, Rangers lost in overtime to the Coyotes at the Garden 3-2. The Blue Shirts have lost 5 in a row. Gerrit Cole allowing 5 runs in 7 innings. Astros fell 5-4 to the Nationals in Game 1 of the World Series in Houston. Game 2 is set for tonight. Stuck in traffic? Susie Cerrone's got the answer.
Sunny in 58. What's going on? We have the answer. Big problem, Justin. An unauthorized truck has the FDR northbound closed through the 50s. Delays already from the 40s. Avoid the FDR northbound cross Bronx westbound slam from the Bruckner to the outbound George. Inbound George, 5 minutes or less for either deck. Inbound Lincoln is 15. In at the Holland, it's 15 from the Turnpike, 30 from 1 to 9. An accident being cleared off the BQE southbound near Tillery Street that has the center lane out. An accident on the Parkway southbound at 136 blocks the left lane. Pretty bad accident on the ramp from the Cross County eastbound to the Hutch. Single laning on that always busy ramp. Thruway southbound delays 13 into Westchester. Your forecast today, sunny with a high of 64 tonight, clear and 47. Thursday, sunny and 66. Friday, mostly cloudy, 63 degrees. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
This portion of Piscopo in the Morning brought to you by Modell's Sporting Goods Stores.
Sponsored by Lowe's. Do it right to save 5% every day by shopping at Lowe's. In-store or online, save 5% on eligible purchases just by using your Lowe's Advantage card. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Subject to credit approval, cannot be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Buy one, get one free offer today for MyPillows at MyPillow.com or call 800-651-0798. Order now. Use promo code AM970.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Join me and the son of our president, Donald Trump Jr., on November the 1st at the next Dining Out Dialogues. We'll be at Bobby Vann's at Park Avenue from 3 to 6 p.m. Join us. Call Bobby Vann's for reservations today.
Attention, all football fans, patriotic Americans, and all Joe Piscopo fans. AM 970 and Army Football are bringing you a once-in-a-lifetime experience you don't want to miss on Veterans Day weekend. For the first time ever, Joe Piscopo and AM 970 will be hosting the ultimate Army game fan experience at the iconic Mikey Stadium. You now have a chance to buy VIP tickets to the November 9th Army game against UMass. These are exclusive tickets you can't get anywhere else. Your VIP fan experience ticket will include parking pass, game ticket, VIP pre-game party at the suite in the Kimsey Center, food and beverage. And you get to enjoy all of this with Joe Piscopo himself. And we're offering an early bird special price of $74.99 if you purchase your ticket before October 31st. Just head to goarmy.eventbrite.com to purchase your tickets. That's goarmy.eventbrite.com for special price tickets. Prices will go up and tickets are limited, so get them while you can.
Hi, it's Joe on the radio. I'll be going away to Italy for a few days, you know that. But while I'm away, I don't want you to forget about my dear friends at Michael's of Brooklyn. I can't say enough about this family-owned business. Fred and his brother John are remarkable people that have continued to keep their family's legacy going for over 50 years. Not only is their Italian hospitality unrivaled, their delectable Michael's of Brooklyn sauces out of this world. One taste will take you back to Sunday dinner at Nonna's house. So please, make me proud while I'm in Italy and stop in to experience an unforgettable meal at one of the five best Italian restaurants in the United States of America, named by the Food Network. And they're located right there on Avenue Warren Nostrand in Brooklyn. You can also get their legendary Michael's of Brooklyn sauce online or at your nearby grocery store. Pick up a jar of their marinara sauce or fresh tomato and basil today. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the most authentic tastes of Italy for over 50 years.
Everybody knows this guy. No, everybody knows he can do a radio show. Joe Piscopo. Mornings, 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. A little baseball music to set the mood. We have someone that I have been impressed with. I mean, first of all, anyone who can be this prolific in terms of writing and convey this much intelligent thought in a matter of their lifetime, I find impressive. For those of you who don't know, I am struggling to write a book at the moment and going through the peer review process, and it is very, very, very difficult. So I give hats off to Mr. David Petruzza for putting his thoughts on paper and getting so many books published. Welcome to the show.
I'm great to be here.
It's good. So, I mean, before we talk about anything you've written in the past, what is your latest work, and where can people get it, and why should people want to read it? I mean, I know it's about Nixon and Kennedy. I mean,
well, actually, my latest book is about Theodore Roosevelt's last year.
Okay.
Final years, and the struggle he has with World War I, and preparedness, and his son's going into the war, and his health problems, and putting the Republican Party back together again, and beating the Democrats. So it's politics as usual or unusual.
Okay. And what's the name of that book?
That's called TR's Last War.
That's great. I mean, I enjoy so many books about TR, both his pre-presidency and even the stuff after he was president. I mean, his presidency is you know, in many ways, one of the least remarkable portions of his life in terms of just the interest that people have in reading about some of the drama that took place in his life.
I think that's very true. I mean, you know, okay, pure food and drug act, you know, the Panama Canal and all that. But when you get into New York City police commissioner, a story in itself, or the cowboy out in the Badlands, the Rough Rider, the Amazon explorer, the African big game.
Well, I was
hunter.
A state assemblyman, so I love his brief time in the state assembly in the minority conference.
He
was
minority leader when he was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. He makes you look like an old timer, okay? What I find interesting is when they take the majority, they don't make him the speaker.
I know. So it is.
There's
such
a story there.
There's definitely a story there. I guess, you know, maybe no one wanted the minority leader's role, so
right,
they just let
right.
him take it. But it really is. It's refreshing to think there was even a time in New York State history when the party domination could have been overturned so easily. I mean, we haven't had a change since 1974 in the Assembly. Of course, the Senate changed last year. But, you know, I know you have this great book about the Kennedy-Nixon debates in 1960. And I think we lose sight of how these moments on a debate stage set a course for the eventual election which fundamentally changes the history of our country, obviously with Kennedy, with the Kennedy assassination, with the eventual presidency of Nixon several years later. I mean, how important was 1960 as a year in forming the republic that we have today?
Well, the debates are so important, as you know, and there aren't really any debates until the Kennedy-Nixon debates. I mean, there's a debate between Dewey and Stassen on the radio in Portland in 1948, and Kennedy and Nixon and Hubert Humphrey debate in West Virginia during the primary. But the big stage show is set in 1960 with a series of four debates starting in Chicago between Kennedy and Nixon. And you learn a lot of things. It's a lot of it is optics. You know, Kennedy's got the good hair.
Handsome guy.
He's tanned. Nixon is pale and sweating, and he's lost weight. He's been sick. So do you go into a debate? What do you think? Bernie would ask the question, well, you're not going to, you know, skip the debate. And neither was Nixon. So he looked like hell. And people who listened to the debate on the radio were just listening to the substance, including Lyndon Johnson, Kennedy's running mate, thought that Nixon had won that first debate. But what Kennedy did was to raise his level of gravitas because he was a lightweight. Mm-hmm. What had he accomplished in the Senate up to that point as compared to, like, Nixon's record?
Senate, very, very brief time, too, in the Senate.
Very brief time, you know, like 6 years or 8 years. And what had he accomplished? So he has to show that he could do it, and he wasn't exactly the workhorse of the Senate. Okay, Kennedy and Johnson debated at the Democratic Convention, and Johnson was trying to make that point against Kennedy. But Kennedy could turn things around. You know, that the great communicator before Reagan, Kennedy was a great communicator, and he could humiliate you on the stage without looking mean.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think the rise and now modern prominence of debates in our political structure is related to or perhaps part of the reason that machine politics, especially in our urban environments and especially in this state, have declined over time? Whereas you don't need the machine structure, the county committee structure to reach the voters. You could actually see them on TV or in the radio.
Well, exactly. With mass media, you don't need, you know, to have your uncle standing out in front of the subway stop handing stuff out.
Effective method still.
It could be, but not as much as it used to be. I mean, I handed those palm cards out. But those days are pretty much gone. The days of the committeemen and that party structure and, well, primaries. In 1960, that's when primaries start to come back. They had, you know, started during the progressive era. Then they start to fade. There's only three primaries of substance in that 1960 campaign, which is West Virginia, Wisconsin, and whatever. I think there's only two.
So I want to ask you finally what you're working on next, because I think that's what a lot of people are interested in what the next big project's going to be. Is it possible to draw any parallels from the 1960 debates to what we see today in terms of how the Democratic Party is messaging or the strategy employed by the candidates?
You've got to have a strategy. Kennedy had a strategy going into that first debate, and Nixon had none. He thought he knew it all. He'd been around the block. He wouldn't listen to anyone, and Kennedy prepped for it. Prepping is good because you don't know what's going to happen. Also, they're not really debates. What they are joint press conferences. Mm-hmm. You know, a real formal debate is nothing like what people see on TV. So be prepared, and also be prepared for the press to zap you and try to sink you. And that's what happens to Nixon in 1960 when they ask him about something that Eisenhower had been asked at a press conference where they tried to zap him. And they said, what decision had Nixon helped you with, Ike? And he said, I'll get back to you in a week. That did not help.
A couple of Pinocchios before there were Pinocchios at the Washington Post. So what are you working on next, before we have to cut out for a break? What are you working on next? What is the next area of American history that's going to spark your interest?
I've actually been working on a memoir of my childhood.
Oh, where did you grow up?
I grew up upstate. And it's a very Selena Zito kind of town.
Okay, that's
okay.
Good.
It's where the rust first started to appear on the rust
now,
belt.
Well, you're from Amsterdam, right?
Yes.
Now, so the county executive of Montgomery County, Matt Ossenfort,
yeah.
Was a great friend of mine in college. And when he worked in the assembly, and I did too, I would oftentimes spend the night or two at his house. And I'll never forget, the neighborhood he lived in was called Pollock Hill.
That's where I'm from.
Right. So I've been to Pollock Hill in Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's
not
really
even a derogatory term. It's
well,
it is
a derogatory term.
But it was said with such pride by
But
Matt.
I mean, I use it all the time. I think maybe I shock people in conversation, but I'm Polish, so I can say it. And it was known by a whole number. It was Reed Hill. It was Cork Hill because the Irish lived there. Damn it, it was Pollock Hill.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. You can get his books on Amazon, online. David Pershuza, talking about 1960 debate, talking about also in his latest book, the last war of TR. I want to thank you for coming in studio. I'm very impressed. I can't wait to read another of your books. For those of you just tuning in, this is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. We got one more 10-minute segment of show for you today. Before we break, we have great hosts lined up for you tomorrow. This is Joe Borelli for Joe Piscopo, and now we'll get some news with our friend Al. Oh, we're going to Susie. Susie, you know, Al always criticizes me for not knowing the formatics of the radio, so we're going to
you
Susie right
now. You are doing just fine.
Thank
you are doing just fine. Did anyone ever tell you sound like Frank a little bit?
You know, too many people tell me that, but it's the people who tell me I look like him that really, I'm kidding, Frank, you're listening, I love you.
Hey there, Joe. Thanks so much and good morning. We do have alternate side in effect. Better news on the FDR. A truck that shouldn't have been there is gone. The FDR northbound is pretty slow from the 40s up to the 60s. The inbound towards okay for either deck. There's outbound road work on both decks till about 2:30. So no fun on the cross Bronx westbound. The inbound Lincoln is down to 5. In at the Holland about 15 from either approach. Delays on the parkway southbound 142 down to 136 with an accident cleared. The parkway northbound is still pretty slow. From 131 for Metro Park up to 137. Stuck in Lodi-O, that's a stall on 17 south at Essex Street. New York State Thruway southbound, still pretty slow from exit 12 down to the Tappan Zee Bridge. And in Westchester, pretty bad accident. Cross County eastbound, the ramp to the Hutch southbound, that is causing single laning. And an accident on Long Island on the LIE westbound at Nichols Road, only the HOV lane is getting by. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I thank you to your Dr. Howard and everybody, because my balance of nature is like my extra little health insurance for me. It makes me feel good every day. I will take it forever. I don't have any family, and I think of you guys as my family. I think I'm getting emotional because you care, and I get,
you're going to make me emotional.
No, but, you know, I just feel like you're my family because you really care about me. That's why I love you guys. You're like a family, and I know that if I ever needed to talk, I could talk. So thank you.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Balance of Nature is now offering a 35% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. This offer may end at any time. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code The Answer.
This is a solicitation of insurance by eHealth, an insurance agency offering plans from different insurance companies. No government or Medicare affiliation. The described coverage is not available in all counties or cases. Paid actor portrayal. Hi, I'm Dave Nemeth.
And I'm Barbara Niven. You may have seen us on television talking about an all-in-one card that has the Medicare community talking.
The one that gives you coverage for hospital care, doctor visits, prescription drugs, in many cases, even eyeglasses and dental care.
For a monthly price that some people find sign too good to be true.
Except it is true.
One card, one company, one complete package of Medicare benefits designed to help you get well and stay well.
Now that's something worth talking about.
Watch your mailbox or learn more online at onecardnow.com. That's onecardnow.com.
Please don't put this off. It's too important. Visit onecardnow.com for free information with no obligation. That's onecardnow.com.
I want to tell you about Route 22 Toyota. Love telling you about Route 22 Toyota. When I met Iggy and Chester and Carmelo and the folks at Route 22 Toyota, I saw how it was a family and how they were really there to help. What could we do? And the first thing Iggy said to me, you know that from Route 22 Toyota? And I'm going to tell you the deal that you can get. First five callers, next 5 minutes. You know, if you call 855-621-9949, you get a free multi-point inspection, a free oil change, and a free filter from Route 22 Toyota. But you got to be one of the first five callers in the next 5 minutes. This is a great way to get over there. 855-621-9949. All European models are excluded. But when I met Iggy, the first thing he says to me is, what charities do you like, Joe? And I go, well, I go, the Boys and Girls Clubs in New Jersey. I'm the spokesperson. Steps up. He becomes the man of the year. He makes a personal donation. He gets Toyota to make a big donation to the Boys and Girls Clubs of New Jersey. That's where the heart is at Route 22 Toyota. So when I tell you they are there to help you, you won't have to deal with dummies. No back and forth. No shenanigans from this car dealer. It comes from my heart. And here's the number now where you can get this great deal. You know, I'll give you you got 5 minutes plus. You know, if you call 855-621-9949 and you're one of the first five calls in the next 5 minutes, you get a free multi-point inspection, oil change, and filter from Route 22 Toyota. Check out the largest indoor automobile showroom in the great state of New Jersey. Brand spanking new, by the way. The brand new customer lounge. Check out the state-of-the-art service center right there on North Broad Street. But yeah, you could start here. 855-621-9949. First five callers. Next 5 minutes. Free multi-point inspection, oil change, and filter from Route 22 Toyota. It's right there on Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com.
Here's your AM 970 weather answer forecast.
Patchy fog around early this morning. Otherwise, today will turn out mostly sunny and breezy with a mild afternoon, a high of 65. Nice this evening, then clear and chilly tonight, low 47 in the city, dropping closer to 40 in some suburbs. Sunny and nice for tomorrow, high of 67. Remaining mostly sunny and nice for Friday, a high of 64. Mix of clouds and sun Saturday, and a high of 60. Some rain is possible for Sunday. I'm meteorologist Rob Miller on AM 970, The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Honda.
Mike Gallagher is next on AM 970, The Answer.
This is a good one. Welcome back, Al, rounding out the show with a great song. I kind of want to sing this one, but I know we have a probably the most special guest of the day who's going to update us on the mozzarella making process. Joe, how are you?
Joey, we wanted to say hey from Frank Morano's bus and Debbie Duhame's bus. Everybody's all pumped up, locked and loaded. Let them hear you in New York, everybody.
We're all jealous. We're all jealous.
Marco's group. Equal time for Marco. Debbie is here. Frank is here. We love you. Joey, thanks for a great job, man. Go get him. And I know Arthur's with us tomorrow. And we love you, Al. And we love you. And we'll talk to you from Italy. Domani. Domani.
Thank you, Joe. Right. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks,
Thank
Joe.
You.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. That sounds good.
I got to be honest with you, Al. I feel like that call was just to rub it in. I feel like that was the rub it in call. Like, hey, just want to let you know 4 hours have transpired. We're still, you know, we're still on the good ship Perillo tour.
Right.
You guys are still in damp, dingy New York, although it might be sunny by the time we get out.
Actually, I think it is sunny.
It is sunny. Okay, yeah, okay.
So. I know. It's great. We really have windows that even if you see out the window, there's actually no sun that you can see because the alleyway is so dark that it always looks like it's
perpetually dark. The AM 970 studio is a great place to take a nap if they would permit napping here. I mean, I know Morano tends to take a nap here. My office up at 250 Broadway, not a great napping place. Although I do have a travel my pillow. Mike Lindell, when he was here one day with some pillows, he gave out a couple of travel pillows, and I happened to find,
nice.
Let's just say one fell off a truck and into my hands, but it is just a fantastic pillow for
it
your
office.
It
is a fantastic pillow. Yeah, for your office, absolutely.
But I just want to say thank you to Jerry Crowley, to Phil Boyce, to Joe Piscopo, to Frank Morano for filling in. Charlie Baldy, our fill-in producer today, did a fantastic job prepping all the guests, prepping all the questions, getting us ready, doing some cuts. Al Gattulo.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you are the unsung hero of the Joe Piscopo Show. Wow. I mean, I don't know why it's not called the, at least on Sunday, one day
right,
a week,
Charlie.
It should
be
money
on. Now. Hold on.
One
hold
day
on.
A
oh,
week,
wait a minute. I'm sorry. I can't.
One day a week, it should be the Gattulo Show. Friends, I am Joe Borelli. I'm a city councilman here in New York City. I love filling in for Joe Piscopo. And good news, because you will join me once again on Monday when I'll be hosting one of the last days that Joe and Frank and the gang are all having fun in Italy. Guys, happy Wednesday. God bless.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The Answer.
58 degrees at 9:59. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Andrew Cuomo is the second highest paid governor in the nation, earning $200,000 a year. California Governor Gavin Newsom is at the top of the list, making just $1,000 a year more than Cuomo. Finance website 247wallstreet.com compiled the list of highest paid lawmakers. Governors of Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Massachusetts round out the top five. The Radio City Rockettes are kicking off rehearsals for the Christmas Spectacular. One of the Rockettes, Mackenzie McGrath, says they practice 6 hours a day to get ready. This year's group is more diversified than last year, with three new African-American dancers, a second Latina, and a dancer who has had one hand and does not wear a prosthetic. The Christmas Spectacular runs from November 8th through January 5th, 2020.